2016, and welcome to episode 188 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And this time, we are wrapping up the semester. So this is our last week here at EIU, four classes, and next week are our finals, so this is crunch time.
It is. Everybody, I mean, people are running 100 miles an hour, but everybody has the same kind of dazed look on their face.
Yes, as we wrap up all the projects and the student presentations and everything, it's quite busy. So we'll talk a little bit about some of those things that we're doing. Also in this episode, I've got a new phone.
Yay!
So I'm going to begin sharing some of those. I'll be doing some blog postings and things, hopefully when things slow down after finals.
Was that your birthday present?
It's kind of my birthday present. Right? After, you know, we'll talk, but after 4 years, my other one was kind of on its last legs. So it's quite a step up. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, we'll have our technology picks of the week. So sit back, relax, and here we go. It's that time of year when everyone's wrapping up the semester. Here at EIU, it's our last week of the semester.
Oh, it's buzzing with excitement and
last-minute projects.
And exhaustion.
And last-minute projects. So we've been neck deep in all kinds of different projects here at the ITC. We were just talking before we went on air about all the different things that we have to do at the end of the semester, as well as I always, at this time of year, I always kind of turn my eye to the future and, you know, what's happening over summer. Mm-hmm. And some of those things. But one of the things that we continue to get more and more of are the video projects. We're doing more and more evidence-based video recording with all of our students, and that really is weighing on the amount of capacity that we have here at the ITC. I think we've probably done well over 500 different videos.
Wow.
this semester. And, of course, video editing, if you've ever done it, is extremely time-consuming.
It is. People don't realize until they do it how much just detail there is involved.
So we've been wrapping that up, of course, with all the other projects, and we always kind of say it's student presentation this time of year, because a lot of times at the end of the semester, we have a lot of student presentations and group projects and things coming due. So all of our technology-enhanced classrooms are really getting to work out with the different, you know, students bringing in different laptops and things, connecting to projectors.
And it's funny, I see that, but then I'm still seeing a lot of the trifold boards.
Yeah.
And things like that. So people are using a lot of different types of presentation.
Right. And the ITC. Formats. Yeah, the ITC, we're kind of split. We still support the quote-unquote older, if you say paper-based. But there's something to be said for that. And reason, you know, we still do a lot of that. But we are definitely seeing the trend to more and more digital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the OneNote program, we're getting a lot of traction and things. Students are using that. The Sways. I still see a lot of servers. I've been helping a lot of students just ad hoc help, you know, going into classrooms and things this week. Just the variety of services that we have out there. I think it was eMaze or something like that. You have like VoiceThread and some of those that are just usually free accounts for educators.
Mm-hmm.
But it does require an external account and then signing in and then, you know, going through whatever learning curve it is to use those presentation tools. But, you know, many of our students are using OneNote, and there's been some really neat developments there. And I said that this time of year I turn my eye to what's going on this summer or just kind of plan out some things. I do think that with the popularity of OneNote that I want to, you know, beef up some of the different support and things. And one thing that I want to explore more, and I've used it quite a bit this summer, is the OneNote class notebook tool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned it before on here, but this is a plug-in that goes into Microsoft OneNote, and it allows you, and I don't know if you remember, Cindy, but a long time ago, well, it was back in fall of 2015, I can tell you exactly when it is. I just pulled up my OneNote page here for collaboration space, and this is something that I set up for my graduate assistants, and then I also threw you and a couple other people in, you know, just exploring the possibilities. But the OneNote class notebook, it provides a content area for the teacher to distribute materials, provides a collaboration space so everybody that has access, granted, can work together in a collaboration, shared space. And then every individual student has their own semi-private notebook that only the teacher and that student can access. So one of the big developments this semester, and I'm very excited about this, let's say that we want to distribute an assignment, you know, an online assignment. Once you set up your class notebook, this class notebook plugin makes it very easy. And this works for OneNote 2016 desktop version is what this plugin works for. But let's say I go out to the internet, and I'm going to talk about a couple of Abraham Lincoln quotes here in a moment. But let's say that I went to a web page that had Abraham Lincoln. For professional development, for learning new things, you know, one of the famous Abraham Lincoln's quotes was, if you give me 6 hours, I'll spend 4 hours sharpening my axe.
Right.
Well, I just come across a blog post that, you know, Lincoln really didn't say that.
Ah.
So this is a website that researched the collective works of all of Abraham Lincoln's writings, and, you know, from Library of Congress with the, you know, the primary sources and things. It's very easy to do search terms. And nowhere, you know, in any of those collections could they find that quote. So let's say that I want, you know, we're doing a discussion, whether, you know, whatever the topic might be. I'm just using this for an example. But let's say that I want to distribute this little section out to my website. So I'm going to make a screen snip of this page. I'm going to go over to my content section of my OneNote page, and I'm going to make a new entry, and I'm just going to call this Abe Lincoln. And then I'm just simply going to paste in this picture, and you can see how easy that is. And then also I would like to provide the URL to my students. So let me come back over to my browser, grab this URL, just do a control C to copy that.
Again, you'll add screenshots in that.
Screenshots. So. I can do a quick screenshot of this. I guess if I'm doing a screenshot, I better spell.
Again, it's that podcast.
I better spell his name correctly here. So there we go. So I've got this, and now then I want to distribute this to my class. So it's in my content library.
Right.
All right. So let's just go out here and go to my class notebook plugin. There's a thing that says distribute page. So I want to distribute this, and I've only got like 5 or 6 different people that have their own private notebooks, but I'm going to distribute this page electronically to every one of those, say, 6 students. It could be 60 students, but in this example, I only have 6 in here. So I'm going to distribute this page to the assignments. Now, as the teacher, I can go up here, and here's your notebook that we shared together.
Right.
So if I go to Cindy Rich's section, and I go to the Abraham Lincoln page, right there it is. That's in your notebook now.
Okay, now, so if you're using this in a classroom while you're teaching and that, do your students need to have their laptops with them so they can
take
notes and do it while they're in class? Or
whether it's in class, face-to-face, online, you know, there's a variety. We'll have this discussion, too. There's a variety. You know, what is the delivery method? It could just simply be, you know, the teacher up there, traditional, you know, here's our projector, front of the room, classic sharing with everybody. The advantage to doing this and doing these snippets or whatever on the fly is you are distributing this material to every single student's notebook. So they have a copy. I cannot tell you how many times I go into classroom, and you know this too, you'll be talking about different resources, and then you'll at the end of the class, you'll say, any questions? It's like, what was that link you were talking about, you know, 15 minutes ago? And in a student's mind, whenever you're learning new things, you're constantly worried about taking those notes and writing that down. That's mental energy that you're not paying attention to, you know, what's coming next, you know, the subsequent activities. So this, from an instructional design standpoint, it takes away that cognitive load of, oh, I have to remember all of this, where you're providing the students the link, the access to those resources, where you can free their mind to do some of the deeper thinking that you really want to have going on.
Okay.
So,
and I mean, you know, things like we use D2L here on campus.
That's a learning management system.
Whenever, you know, you post lecture notes or you post your lectures, you know, or whatever you're talking about on D2L and that. And but this way you can just kind of do it on the fly a little bit easier.
it's much more freeform than Desire to Learn because this supports multimedia. You've used OneNote. You know how easy. You just copy a URL. You insert a video. Here's a link to a YouTube video. Sometimes within learning management systems, they're a little bit more of a template-based where you're locked in to that way of doing things. Or even just displaying PDF files and things like that is a little bit cumbersome. They complement each other. There's different reasons to use one or the other, or in our case we usually use both because there's advantages to it. I just like the freeform ability of OneNote. Plus, this adds the other benefit for the formative assessment because it's very easy for a teacher to go in and look at a student's notebook, online OneNote notebook, and provide, one-to-one formative assessment comments, whether that might be an audio recording or it could be like a Word document with digital linking and things over. It's just so much more flexible.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, it's like during class having students all bring their laptops, all be logged in, all taking notes on it in that way and having access to those. But then you have to make sure every student has their device with
And we're not there. We are not there yet.
Right.
Even here, and we provide a lot of carts. We check out a lot of carts that supplement class activities. And, maybe half the class will bring their own laptop or tablet, whatever they might have.
Right.
But there'll be another half that won't. So we provide that to have access for, the learning management resources. But again, it's a question of distribution. How do you want to handle that? That's why so many students still handle, the spiral notebooks and regular, pen and paper, pencil and paper, because a laptop, it doesn't handle that free pen-based, like the digital ink or the Surface tablets would do. But there is a need for both. I mean, that's the whole purpose of note-taking is, for you to write down things, get things out of your short-term memory so you can remember them, and investigate them.
And then some of them transfer them into a digital format. And so, the more times they use it, the more times they're exposed to it.
Which is very beneficial for the encoding, as you know.
Absolutely.
Being able to put that into your own words, you're internalizing that versus, and studies have shown this, research is pretty well documented, that if you take notes with a laptop, you're sitting there concentrating on the mechanics of the typing, and the research shows that you're literally transcribing what the instructor is saying versus people that take either a digital pen and ink, or if they use old-fashioned paper and pencil, they are encoding in a different method, which slows you down, so you're processing it differently.
Right. That's interesting.
So I can provide some links out in the show notes. I've had a couple people ask me about some of that research, and I can't remember where it was, but somewhere in my professional learning network, somebody had mentioned something about the typewriter when we made that transition.
Yep.
It's like, I'm old enough to remember the typewriter.
I took typing class.
But for me, I remember I had trouble because I had thought with pen, paper, pencil, writing everything. I literally remember having to write out when I was first going to college, because that was right when the transition was occurring. I had to write my thoughts out because I could not think and type. It was a mental disconnect.
Right.
And it's really interesting that some of the new research is showing the same thing between the laptops and inking.
Yeah, that is.
So,
I like annotating. I like highlighting and different colors and all that good stuff. And I know you can do that, on a computer and word processing, but I'm still really if I do it on a computer, I'll print it out and I'll highlight it manually with a highlighter instead of highlighting it with the computer.
Yeah, those old ways kind of die hard.
It is, but the good thing is we learn how, as we age. We both just had birthdays, But as we age, we become more aware of our strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And it's that metacognition of, okay, I know that I learn better, I'll work better this way, and that's how I do it. And so that, I think by letting our students experience learning through all these different ways, they can maybe start recognizing what they're good at and what comes easier for them.
Right.
And then that frustration level goes down and they can really get into the learning.
Right. Well, it's the old saying, what's the best way to teach? There is not one way.
Right.
There are many ways to teach, and everybody has their own preferences and things. So it's interesting seeing that. So as I said, I just use that Abraham Lincoln quote, but you know what else Abraham Lincoln said?
What?
Don't believe everything you read on the internet. So just to drive the point home, since we are the land of Lincoln here.
That's right.
Okay, so other things, wrapping up the semester. I know you're finishing up your class and things. So.
I am finishing up with that, and they're, you know, all exhausted and overwhelmed, and you know, no matter who we are, what age we are, we tend to procrastinate,
mm-hmm.
and so things come crashing down on us, and that, and so doing that, and just getting some things ready with the grant, working on planning for summer,
mm-hmm.
and what we're gonna do. So, you know, in my mind there was gonna be this downtime, but it doesn't happen because I'm already thinking about fall.
Right.
And possibly teaching a new class in the fall,
mm-hmm.
and all the work that entails. So.
Yeah. Yep. So it will be a busy summer, prepping, thinking about all those things. One other thing, talk about old ways dying hard. And we all kind of have our own workflows and habits and mm-hmm. things, whether, you know, it's paper and pencil based or if it's digital using some of these digital tools. I'm recently experiencing a disruption because I just purchased a new phone.
But again, it's that excitement, the adrenaline rush that
right.
comes with it.
Right. So I'm very excited. I've had this about a week, and I'm going to be making some blog posts out there because I think others will benefit from this experience. Every summer, I also try taking on a new project where I learn something that I don't know much about. So this is my attempt this summer to learn a little bit more about the workflows and things. And I purchased the flagship product for Android, which mm-hmm. is the Samsung. This is the S7 Edge. So it is the premier phone.
It's pretty.
And you, what is yours, a Galaxy?
Mine is the Galaxy S5.
Yep. So I'm a couple of generations ahead.
You are,
there.
But now that we have to buy phones, I've bought a case and I'm making this baby last.
My last phone was 4 years, so
yep.
it was getting a little bit long in the tooth. And it was a Windows phone. So, you know, the Windows phone's going through some growing pains right now.
So do you use the Edge thing? Like, can't mm-hmm. you get messages on the mm-hmm. side and
you
all
can,
that?
Yep. You can get little banners or tickers is
yeah.
what they call them,
have
like
you
a little
set
stock
it up?
Market. I'm not using that feature much, but, you know, I do love the fingerprint recognition to log in. But one thing that I do use and one reason that I went with this phone is it gets its name with a curved edge.
Mm-hmm.
There are these little widgets that you just slide through.
Mm,
so,
cool.
So it gives you very, very quick access. But this has completely disrupted my workflow because it's a different operating system. I'm going through some growing pains on using it. Luckily, I would say I'm able to do about 90% of the things that I wanted to do with my old phone. But it's going to take me a while to find that gap.
And, it's that distraction of new technology and new resources or new materials. When we bring it in the classroom, the first few times you use it, it's that as we become literate in using
Yeah, comfortable.
Right. And that, so you get over that hump, then it just becomes comfortable and second
right.
nature. And, you know, in 6 months, you won't even be thinking about it. You'll feel like you've had this phone your whole life.
Right.
And that, but there's that. I hate to call it a distraction, but it is.
Well, you call it, you know, get over that hump or that learning curve, though, you know,
right.
those things. There's a reason that we use that language because, you know, it is. And it's all about attitude, too, because if you have in your mind that, you know, oh, I can't learn, guess what?
Right.
You know, you shut down already.
And some people, you know, change scares a lot of people, and that, and you and I talked about it earlier. I don't know if that's a good time to mention this, but we're putting together an ed camp, EIU,
mm-hmm.
and that's a whole new ball game.
Right.
And so you focus on the details of making it happen, but then you have to let go
right.
to let it be what it's supposed to be. And
right.
it's that complete change of format that kind of, you know, shakes you up a little bit, and it's scary, but it's exciting.
Yeah. The EdCamp model is classified as an unconference, and many of you probably have attended some. There have been several in the area, but we will be having one in June
21st.
So check out the Tech Talk for Teachers website. I'll have a link in the show notes for that. And as we say, we're just in the beginning stages here of planning a lot. So there's still a lot up in the air.
It is. And we're starting small with this first one because very few people, we did a survey, and very few people in this area had attended one or even really knew what they were.
Right.
So we're going to start small, do a half day, kind of let people get their feet wet, and then hopefully word of mouth, and we'll have a lot more interest to do a full day, bigger one.
Right.
And maybe start a new tradition.
Right. But as you say, that uncomfortableness or whatever, because we as educators and teachers are so used to being in charge and directing things, the EdCamp model, the unconference model, is the participants are in charge.
Right.
And we all come together in the morning, and we don't even have an agenda or anything. It's all made on the fly that morning. It's like, what would you like to learn about?
Right.
I don't know. What would you like to learn about? In this kind of informal gathering.
Well, and it's been interesting because we are seeing where people are, many of the EdCamps, people are submitting topics ahead of time.
Right.
And that, and so it's like, okay, that made me feel a little bit, the control freak in me, type A personality, that made me feel a little bit better because, like, okay, people actually are going to have things they want to talk about. Right. And so we won't be just sitting and staring at each other. But it's putting all your trust in the attendees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are going to be teachers that I trust completely. So I should be okay with that. Mm-hmm. It's just getting there.
Yeah. Well, you've attended them. I've attended them. The first, particularly that first session in the morning, is a little bit awkward because, especially if you have people that haven't attended one before, it's like, okay, who's going to, we don't really have a leader or discussion, you know, just kind of a guidance thing out there. And it's all about sharing, you know, sharing our experiences and practical experiences.
And people can sign up to sort of be the hosts in the room, and you can have hosts in the rooms as well to help get it started. But yeah, so, you know, it's just like riding a bike for the first time with two wheels. You get on, and once you can do it, it's good, but it's a little scary taking off.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. So be sure, like I said, check out the show notes. And next episode, the end of May, we will have a lot more to share and have a little bit more detail with
what to share. We started our Twitter account and have, you know, two posts.
You want to go ahead and mention it's...
And then at EdCampEIU.
Okay. Okay, so if you're not following us on Twitter and in this local area and interested, please follow EdCampEIU. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap it up for today, and we'll finish up here with our technology picks of the week. My technology pick of the week this week has to do with the new smartphone that I just purchased.
Accessory for your new toy.
That's the bad thing when you get a new phone. You have to get a case. You got to get accessories. You got to figure all these different things out. One of the reasons that I upgraded after 4 years of an old phone, all of our students out here are doing more and more video work. And as I said earlier, we're doing a ton of video work. And many of the students are using their iPhones or Android phones to record. And unfortunately, that usually means probably about half of them take it in portrait mode and turn everything sideways, and that requires video editing. And then the other huge problem that we're having is they're recording these things in 4K format, which is quad HD.
Wow.
Yeah, huge files.
Looks good.
Looks great. But we're asking them to upload these, as I said, for some evidence-based teaching into our LiveText system and into our EdTPA system, which those are all cloud-based, which means you're at the mercy of wireless connections, which are notoriously slow. So I just helped a young lady out here yesterday, just for an example, iPhone. She recorded an 8-minute segment, and it was 1.2 gigabytes.
Wow.
And fortunately, LiveText, I think you can upload up to 1 gigabytes, but the EdTPA, your video limited, must be under 500 megabytes.
Oh, wow. Now, do you, I assume you do, that you tell them all this at the beginning, but we've all been around long enough to know that sometimes...
I'll worry about that when I get there.
Exactly.
Yes, there is a couple of OneNote notebooks, in fact, about all the wisdom of tips and tricks about recording your video. And it's like, if you listen to this on the front end, you're going to save yourself some grief on the back end. But as you said, it's like, oh, I just push a button and record and we're done.
We'll figure it out later.
Yeah. So the Samsung S7 Edge, it does 4K video. So these are huge files as well. Of course, you know, we tell them to turn that resolution down. That's the obvious thing to prevent a little bit of grief on the front end. If you don't need that extra high quality, just, lower your resolution.
Sure.
Because that ripples through the entire editing process. Mm-hmm. Importing a 1 gigabyte file into just a standard video editing software, it, takes a while. The larger the file, the longer it's going to take.
Now, something we were just talking about on an iPhone, one of the reasons we were talking about our Galaxy is that we can get the SD card and expand the memory.
Right,
in it.
Which is a huge factor in why I went with this phone.
Right, and so I wonder if some students are running into an issue with not having enough.
On the iPhones, yes, they are. If, depending upon what model, last two, 3 years.
And how many videos they take.
iPhones are notorious for, the base model, 16 gigabytes.
Right.
That's not much space in today's world. Especially if you're recording video, it goes very quickly. And then if you add all the different apps and things.
Music and...
But the nice thing with the Android and the external SD, you just pop a little bit bigger SD card in there and you're ready to go. But back to the tech pick of the week. I don't know that I've said. I have purchased a little, it's like a smartphone tripod mount. So it's all it is a little chunk of aluminum with a little bit of an adjustable knob on the top of it, and I'll provide a link in the show notes, but I got this off Amazon. It's called RetiCam, RETICAM, smartphone tripod mount, and it's adjustable for smartphones 2.75 inches to 3.6 inches, which fits the Galaxy S7 Edge perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's very high quality. It is a bit expensive to buy. I think it's $25, which is a bit on the high end for just a simple mount, but it's well machined, like I said, made out of aluminum, well machined. It gives a nice firm grip, and for a smartphone that costs several hundred dollars, I don't want it falling out of a little plastic mount.
Well, and I think the quality of the video that you can create and the photos you can create with that phone makes it worth it.
Yeah. Like I said, over summer, I hope to be experimenting a little bit more with some of the 4K video for instructional, video purposes. And it's just kind of opening up another realm. Of course, the camera, since it does excellent video, the autofocus on the S7 Edge is fantastic. And of course, the regular pictures are very, very good coming out. So, like I said, new to the phone, excited about it, still in the honeymoon period, so I'm still learning more about it. But just a simple tripod camera mount, that should help make the videos. The nice thing with the cell phone, of course, you have the front camera and the back camera. So if you put it over in what they call selfie mode, you can just put it here. And it will record, so you can frame yourself up whenever you're doing those solo, which, a lot of things that we do, we're just, we don't have the luxury of having camera persons to follow and pan and zoom. So, So that's my tech pick, the ReadyCam smartphone camera mount.
Cool stuff. All right. Well, my tech pick is different. It's more of just a reason for why I use tech, and that I found more and more that I'm getting into different blogs and websites and that for professional development information. Mm-hmm. And it's not in-depth, professional development, but just different insights that people offer. And so there's just an unbelievable amount out there.
Millions.
And so, there are some that I thought I liked and then discovered, this isn't a direction I want to go with it. But other ones that I've really latched onto, and a lot of them that they just provide links to other articles and things, but it's accessing information easily. And so, we were talking about in the summer, we start doing PD with teachers, and it's become, some people are doing it online, some people are doing hybrid. Sometimes you want really in-depth PD experience, sometimes you just want to see what's new and what's going on. And so I think it's pretty cool how it's evolved mm-hmm. and how teachers are making it their own mm-hmm. by creating these websites and, mm-hmm. and these organizations and what they're offering.
Right.
And that, and so to also, you, I know you use your Twitter a lot for professional development and that, and I've always been more with my Facebook and Twitter personal mm-hmm. and for fun and that. But I'm starting to go over to the dark side. I'm starting to follow more and more professional things on those accounts because the quality of what they're putting out there.
Yeah, I routinely see comments on Twitter. It's like, oh, this is the best professional development I've ever experienced.
Right.
A couple of reasons. One, the serendipity of it. And mm-hmm. once you get your network to a critical mass, which I would say over 100, you know, groom your followers and things right. to about 100 quality people. And then grow it from there. Of course, the more that you add, there's a law of diminishing returns. If you add too many, which I've got well over 1,000, maybe 2,000 now, there's a law of diminishing returns where it starts to become a little bit of noise.
Yeah.
So you have to be selective with some of the different people you follow. And, you know, if somebody gets a little bit too chatty, you can always mute them on Twitter or unfollow them if, you know, if you're no longer interested. But that's the other strength of that EdCamp model, that there's a wealth of knowledge out there in the participants that attend any conference. They're regular classroom teachers. So, you know, how do you leverage that sharing, that wealth of knowledge in that EdCamp model in a little bit less formal, more mm-hmm. relaxed? Some people would never even think, oh, I don't want to go to a major national conference because there's going to be 200 people there. You know, that's just kind of scary.
20,000, right, 20, yeah.
But that's kind of scary for some people.
Right.
And but, you know, in an EdCamp model, it's very laid back and much more relaxed. And
sometimes I compare it to when you're shopping for something specific and you look and can't find it. And then you go to a mall and you're not really looking for anything and you find the perfect thing.
Yes.
And so sometimes it's that serendipity. It's just stumbling across something. And so the other day I stumbled across an article and it was about kindergarten red shirting and how kids feel about it later in life.
Explain that.
Kindergarten red shirting, it's like in football, they red shirt freshmen, they don't play them. So it's the holding students back a year before they start kindergarten, even though age-wise they can go. But parents choosing to hold their kids back a year, either because they're socially not mature enough, right. academically, whatever the mm-hmm. reason. But it was a really cool article about mm-hmm. that and mm-hmm. how kids felt about it later in life.
Right. You know, you and I both being parents, there's a lot right. of ramifications through that, not only at the, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old age, mm-hmm. but also as, you know, that affects when they mature, you know, right. into middle school and into yep. high school. And as you said, that perspective. So and that's a complicated.
Both of my boys were July babies. Mm-hmm. And so we grappled with mm-hmm. it. You know, what do we do? How right. do we, you know, and all that. And so this article was a really right. interesting article, but I shared it on Facebook.
Right. Personal, and, you know, personal relationships, dating, sports.
And teachers and friends who are not in education commented and shared, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's things that are of interest to mm-hmm. everybody that right. you just come across, but that's what makes it valuable and real.
Right. I call that planting seeds out there. You know, we as teachers, we kind of throw out some of these ideas and just kind of see what sprouts and grows sometime. And I'll even say that in, you know, whenever I'm doing presentations for students and say, you know, some of you won't remember this, but some of you will. And mm-hmm. then, you know, just plant that little seed out there. It's like, oh, that's what he was talking about.
Right.
Because that's that personal interest and that personalized learning.
Yes.
Not all 30 people are going to go out there, but you might have 2 or 3 that are interested in
right.
that particular thing. And go out for that serendipity of it to investigate and learn more and go deeper, you know,
for that
deeper learning.
Yep. It's nice to be able to go and look at something, get a taste of it, mm-hmm. and then decide whether I want to spend a whole day on it or a couple days or whatever. And so, you know, it's neat that with technology we have those opportunities.
Right. It provides all kinds of learner choice. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just out there providing those opportunities.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we just need to let go and, you know, let the learners fly. That wraps it up for episode 188 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. If you have a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.